The opinions expressed are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the official positions of the sponsors, advertisers, or presenters. Advertising does not imply endorsement by the sponsors and presenters.
Hey guys, and welcome back to the Lighting Controls Podcast. Webster and I have another Lighting Controls Podcast short for you today, but before we jump into our conversation, let me just take a minute to remind everyone that today's episode is presented by the LCA, the Lighting Controls Association.
And it's financially supported by the National Association of Innovative Lighting Distributors, or NAILD. Check out our website, lightingcontrolspodcast.com. We've got everything that you need regarding this show and more. But until then, let's get into the short. So, Ron, I got three names for you, and I'm curious if you've heard them before. Light Ovation, Lightapalooza, and Leducation.
So up until recently, I would have said that Leducation was the only one I knew about, but you've clued me into the other two. So it's a little bit of a way that I can cheat, but no, up until recently, I had never heard of the other two, especially Lightapalooza. I thought you were joking with me at first.
Yeah. So, I mean, as far as things go, you know, these are three really critical parts to the lighting discussion in general, not just lighting controls, but lighting from the perspective of a lighting specifier, installer, manufacturer. You know, all of these players are involved at some degree, but what's really interesting is they're supported and coordinated by completely different groups. So Lightovation is the ALA, American Lighting Association's, one of their shows. They have this happen down in Texas at this big facility with a lot of the manufacturers being involved. They have their showrooms there, which are permanent showrooms, which is fascinating to see, you know, permanent lighting showrooms that are all packed into one space. So there's a lot of the brands. I'm not going to name any of the brands to just in case there's preference that people will call out from this. But, you know, it's a really interesting show. There's a lot of vested interest in getting lighting people out there to see the show floor, see, you know, what's out there, but also to get the showrooms to start considering lighting controls. Because lighting controls for a long time have been omitted from the show floor environment. So that's where I came in. They brought me down to talk about lighting controls to attendees of Light Ovation to get, hopefully, showroom operators, not just in that building, but in general, to start considering offering lighting controls. So that's ALA's territory. Then Lightapalooza is the audio-video territory. They really, you know, are coming at it from a different perspective, and they're getting involved in an industry referred to as the custom integration industry, which is high-end residential. And high-end residential for a long time, I get, you know, differing reports about this, and I feel like, you know, I might be saying something inaccurate, and I'm hopefully going to hear about it from people if it is inaccurate. But, you know, from the landscape of high-end residential, a lot of lighting designers say, no, not my game. You know, there's not enough work. There's not enough money in this for me to be a lighting designer for high-end residential. So they've kind of turned away from that. But that in doing so, they've left open this gap in skilled labor for doing lighting. And so as a result, you're seeing a lot of contractor grade equipment being used in houses and high-end residential spaces because of the fact that there's nobody there to give any guidance. And so a number of manufacturers and integrators that have come in to say, okay, you know, here's some guidance, here's some information, here's some training so that you can help fill in the gaps. Now, if a lighting designer is involved in a project, step away, like that's not your territory. But if there is no lighting designer involved, if there is no guidance, by all means, make recommendations so that we don't end up with really bad lighting, bad dimming, bad everything. And they're leveraging the AV integrators. So the people who do a lot of the audio video equipment in residential spaces also do lighting controls, and they come at it from a controls perspective. And so they're primed to be there to say, dimming compatibility is really important, and I can provide the dimming, but they don't often provide the fixtures. The fixtures come from someplace else. And so a lot of groups are going to them saying, hey, can you do this for me? And so there's a really good opportunity there, really great synergy between the AV integrators and the lighting manufacturers to be able to fill in this gap. But additionally, you know, Lightapalooza is kind of this concentrated effort to get education and awareness out about the fact that, hey, there's crumbs left on the table for whoever wants them, and you should pick these up because you're already primed for everything else. And then Leducation, which you and I are both familiar with, which really came out of the goal of educating people about LEDs, but really has exploded past that point. You know, is so busy at the conference this year, but really in a good way, because it's really great to see it having such success. I heard stories about people from Switzerland there this year. So it's longer just a New York thing. It's everywhere. But it really is continuing to be a core focus of education for people. They really make sure that their show floors are equitable for the manufacturers, so that no one person stands above the rest and is prioritized. Everybody gets their fair shake at drawing attention to their booths and getting people to walk and talk with them. So regardless, it's, you know, all three of these, I think, are critical to the success of our industry.
But they're all in, well, not all, right? But they're in different markets too, right? You've got your high-end residential versus your commercial space. So they are all in their own regard. But at the same time, it'd be, I know it's going to take forever, but it'd be nice to see some synergy between them, especially in regards to controls. I know that's not likely to happen anytime soon, but, you know, one can dream.
Well, and I think, you know, synergy and interoperability, I mean, those are real topics of discussion lately, especially when it comes to lighting controls. And I think, you know, looking at it from the perspective of the Lightovation Lightapalooza overlap, it's almost like, well, you know, you definitely have a synergy there. Your AV integrators are providing the controls and the show floors are providing the fixtures. So, you know, you just connect the two and you're good, right? But there's not that roadmap there yet. There's no option for that to really be a case. And similarly with high-end residential and commercial, there's really, you know, it's like, it's almost like you're trying to fit two objects that aren't related to each other together. And so I think we are seeing, though, brands from the commercial side coming into the custom integration side and facilitating these conversations in a way that's helpful, because good lighting design really does require knowledgeable people to do. Similarly to good lighting controls design. And you already have good lighting controls designers. So you just need to get good lighting designers involved at this point.
Yeah, and I'd say for anyone who maybe hasn't attended any of those three shows, or depending on what show you go to, if you have a favorite or a preference, right? Mm-hmm. I'd say that for people who attend the shows, take the extra time to look at what educational resources are being provided. Look at the different conferences. Look at the different presentations. It is amazing the brain power that is assembled by all of these different groups and the experts in the industry who are just down the hall, and you have no idea if you're just on that show floor. And every one of us could truly benefit by taking the extra few minutes looking through and saying, you know what, this one, and this one, those look interesting. I'm going to plan an extra few hours. I'm going to plan an extra day, and I'm going to sit in on some of these classes. And we really all could benefit from that. And if you don't take that time, you're really missing out on such a big portion of the shows. I know some people may not realize that because they go to the show, they attend the show floor, and they go to the party, and they want to do this and they want to do that, but you're missing out on such a big piece of the picture.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, personally, I mean, this is something that you and I were just talking about and joking about, but, like, you know, I'm the boring guy who just goes to seminar after seminar usually. And I don't, you know, I'll like blitz through the show floor as quick as possible to see what the latest and greatest is, just because of the lack of time. But there's you know, networking opportunities, resources, mm-hmm. you know, even the after parties are an opportunity for connecting with people and finding that next job or however you're trying to market yourself. And so there's avenues in every way, so long as you're there acting professionally, working professionally with everybody there. You know, everybody's there just trying to move the needle forward a little bit more and more. And these are just excellent resources that people can tap into. And, you know, these three are just three out of probably two dozen shows that happen either annually or biannually.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I mean, you mentioned three that are all at the beginning half of the year, right? Legication, right. Lightapalooza. I mean, those two just happened.
Yes.
So, I mean, there's still so many conferences, right? I mean, from the theatrical side, you've got, you know, LDI, Nailed has their convention. I mean, and I'm sure there's even more that IES has their conferences. I know it's not a convention, but it's still, there's a lot of resources out there.
Yes. Yeah. And so, you know, depending on your focus, I mean, even the IES annual conference, they have the IES street and area lighting conference. You know,
yep.
USITT has its focus, but you've also got, I'm forgetting the other big theatrical one.
LDI, the one I...
LDI, thank you. Oh, that's it.
Okay.
Like that? I was, which one? Like, IALD kept popping in my head. I'm like, that. But that. Yes, LDI, yep. I mean, so you've got different avenues for all these, and they all have unique things to contribute to the industry. There's not like one that you should go to and then you're good, you can dust your hands of the industry. Like, depending on your niche need, you know, each one has something to offer.
Yeah. And I will say from personal experience, anytime you can go to a show with at least one colleague, you'd be amazed how much more you get out of that show. If you don't just follow parallel paths, right? If you divide and conquer, it is amazing how much ground you can cover. Not only the extra people that you see, but everyone has a different take on how they have a conversation or see a product or see an idea, or I attended this conference, but you went to this one. And as a group, you can come back and collect that and just, you know, have those conversations, disseminate that across your teams and have better or stronger organizations because of all the additional knowledge and resources. So it really is. And I know it's an added expense for people, but depending on the show and the area, if you can attend with multiple people from a firm, it is 100% worth it. Absolutely.
Yep. Yeah. And I think that's the risk, you know, that people see it. You know, it's just sort of like there's a cost associated with going to a conference, and it's like, yeah. And then there's also people who say, well, I'm going to see the product, you know, the reps are going to bring the product to my office after the show anyways, so there's no point going to the show floor. And it's like, okay, fine. You know, if your goal with conferences is just to see the latest and greatest product, that there are ways around that. And if your goal is to get, you know, the educational material, I'm sure you could ask for the PowerPoint slides or something like that. But there is an element still to conferences. There's still something that facilitates the industry and keeps the fluid flowing and staying within this industry and getting those conversations to happen that, you know, I think when the pandemic hit and people started going, oh, you know, conferences are done, you know, this is it. You know, it's not the case. It's the fact that we may have lost sight of the point of conferences, but they're coming back and they're actually becoming much more critical. And I would say, you know, the resources offered by them are hard to compete with outside.
Yeah. And I know a lot of these conferences have a lot of volunteers involved, right? So I don't want to get down on anybody, but the conferences are getting busier and that is noticed across the industry. And I know that's tough. People have contracts, this and that, right? But like, anything we can do, you know, one thing I've noticed at a lot of different conferences over the last few years is sometimes even just the lack of signage within the show floor. So if you're not specifically paying attention to the educational resources being provided, there's often maybe something by the front door. But once you walk into the show floor, there's very often a lack of signage for certain things regarding those educational resources and things like that. And it, I know that's, Again, I know I'm asking a lot from volunteers, but it'd be nice to see some, and I know that's tough, but better communication somehow, better signage. You know, you can do a lot with just a QR code these days. Everyone has their phone with them, right? And just so you don't have to put everything on a sign, just put a bunch of QR codes all over the place instead that people can scan to find, you know, where are these conferences? Where is this special thing? Where can I find that? You know, make hourly announcements that, hey, this is happening. This is happening. You know, there's always, you know, some sort of way. Well, I shouldn't say there's always a way to do that. I would hope that there's always some sort of a way to do that. I guess I don't know that for sure for some of these shows, but you know, I know it's a lot and I know I'm asking a lot, but I do think that there's a lot of people who just, depending on where you are in an organization, are just, hey, you're going to this conference, and they don't necessarily have all those resources available to them per se, unless they take the time to hunt it out. So if everyone does a better job of putting the information out there, I think it'd be easier for people to find and utilize those resources.
And most of these conferences have ways of giving feedback. So, I mean, if you are somebody who went to a conference and you had a really bad experience for some reason, and you didn't fill out a feedback form or a survey, you know, that's kind of on you, in my opinion, because, you know, they can only operate off of what they know. And I definitely recommend filling out surveys when they come in, especially if you have constructive feedback to give back to the committees, because they do work tirelessly to make these happen. And there are going to be challenges that sometimes you're stuck with because of the venue, and sometimes you're stuck with because of the lack of funding for some reason, or any number of reasons that would cause an unfortunate thing to happen. But at the very least, having that feedback is good information for them to have to do better in the future. And really, you know, that's kind of the goal in general, is to just create these resources, make them better every single time, and improve upon them. So, you know, Ledgecation didn't start in the same venue, didn't start with the same, you know, quantity of content, and they've really taken off. And it's only because of the support they've had from the community.
Yeah, and I'd say, you know, like you said, fill out those forms. Send an email, because if you think you're doing anyone a service by telling them on the show floor, you're vastly mistaken. Oof, that information in one ear, out the other. It is gone.
Well, right? I mean, I'm sure they value it. But yeah, I mean, there's just so much information coming in at all points in time. So, it, you know, follow up with that at least. Don't just say, oh, you know, I said something to somebody, we're good, I'm walking away. But, you know, the surveys, that's why a lot of people will just say, you know, there's a survey, fill it out. And that's a great resource so that they have a collective area for all the feedback.
Yeah. So I guess the big thing is we're not trying to be down on any of these shows. If anything, we want you to attend the conferences. We want you to attend the educational seminars. We want you to reach out to all the experts in the industry. You know, be a part of the change that's coming in the controls industry. It's not an if. It really is a when. It's happening. And it's going to happen sooner than I think people think it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And it is going to take time still, but it's going to happen. So be a part of the conversation, be a part of the shift, help propel things forward. And you can help do that by either attending the conferences and offering that feedback to presenters or to the conference, or even taking the time to maybe even offer your own opinions and present your own ideas at the shows as well. Be a part of a panel. You know, we all play a part in the industry, and if we want to move things forward, we all need to work together.
Absolutely. Or if you're really motivated, you should volunteer. So
there you go. Awesome. All right. Well, I think that's enough about that for now.
Yeah.
But we can always pick up the conversation next time. You know, we'll have more conversations about other shows. We'll have other shorts as the year goes on, as sort of things pop up and ideas pop into our heads. But really want to thank everyone for their time and just for listening to us go on a little bit about some of the shows, the differences of some of these shows, and, you know, being more involved in education and helping to support the industry as a whole. So thank you to everyone. And let me just take a minute to remind everyone, today's episode is presented by the LCA, the Lighting Controls Association.
and it's financially supported by the National Association of Innovative Lighting Distributors, or NAILD. Check out our website, lightingcontrolspodcast.com, where we have our full episodes, our shorts, and a lot of other resources worth checking out. Thank you so much for joining us.